The reason that we study history is so we don't keep making the same mistakes. Human nature, being what it is, has us prone to being slow learners. And we invite problems time and time again, often of our own making. Do we ever learn our lesson? In our scripture readings this morning, I think we encounter some what I would call timeless problems. Fear, we hear in the story of the boat at sea. Ignorance, it's Jesus, but they don't know it. And certainly when we get to the story of the Ethiopian eunuch, prejudice. Today's stories affirm that those aren't just first century problems. Our experience would have us know that those are problems very much in the church and in the world alive today. Two stories today, one with Jesus and his friends on the lake, the other on a wilderness road. Can you believe Gaza, which is still in the news, is where our passage is located, and that wilderness road. The disciples in the boat, let's start with that one. They're on the Sea of Galilee. They're afraid, and they are without Jesus because he stayed back and presumably prayed on a mountain. They're afraid, according to John, when they see Jesus. Now, that's not how Mark, Matthew, and Luke tell the story. They tell the story that the disciples got afraid when they saw the winds and the waves. But John's emphasis is they're afraid when they see Jesus because it's dark and they don't know it's he. Who's there? What's that? Is there anything under your bed at night as you lay trying to sleep? Or in the closet? Is it a ghost? I told my kids, they all know the song from the 70s, "The Freaks Come Out at Night." It's a funk song if you ever want to try to listen to it. Is it a thief? Who's there? Now, that's a theme in the Bible, in case you didn't know this, not recognizing somebody's true identity. Can you recall a few stories, especially from the Old Testament, where you're not sure who's who? You remember Joseph before his brothers in Egypt? Do you recall the very strange story about Jacob marrying the wrong sister and then having to work 7 more years to marry her sister? Okay, it's an ancient book. This is a different world. Abraham lying to Pharaoh about his wife being his sister? Do you recall Mary at the empty tomb seeing Jesus, talking to Jesus, and thinking he was the gardener? Do you recall the disciples after Jesus was raised walking to Emmaus and not knowing it was he? Not until they sat at table and he broke bread and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened. Then they knew. That's Jesus. Why is it so hard to recognize one's true identity in biblical stories? It is Jesus who comes to them on the water, and they're afraid. "It is I," he says. "It's me." It's easy to live with ignorance, isn't it? It's easy to live not understanding the truth. The truth matters. The truth sets you free. Jesus says, "I am the way and the truth and the life." They've paddled a few miles, and they're ignorant that it is Jesus there on the water with them. But the truth of his presence allows them to at last be at peace and reach their destination. You know what comes with ignorance? Fear. Life experience tells me that. When I was more ignorant on topics or peoples or situations, I was taught to be afraid. That often goes with ignorance, doesn't it? Fear. Jesus tells them the truth, and when they know the truth of his presence, fear vanishes. This outsider becomes an insider. This fearful one becomes a friend. and the stormy sea becomes a safe destination. I like the hymn that says, when God's love welcomes you in, you're no longer a stranger or a guest. You're like a child come home. Dinner time. As today, the early church had to battle its own ignorance, not recognizing Jesus. I love the story in Revelation where Jesus says to the church, I stand at the door and knock. Where is he? Jesus is outside. And he's saying to the church, let me in. I'd like to come and be in the church. You've put me outside. If you let me in, I'll come and eat with you and you with me, and we will commune and be friends. But you've kicked me out. That story from the first century church. It's hard to recognize Jesus in our midst. That's what I take when the disciples have him outside the boat. It's dark, it's windy, there are waves, and they're afraid. Who is that? With a word, Jesus says, it is I. And that word he gives changes the whole experience. You know, the membership committee of the church has been playing with a word, and the word is acceptance. Perhaps you saw it on stickers at the Taste of Alpharetta recently, or perhaps you've seen them on folks or being passed around. When you see others and welcome them in, you are practicing the faith of Christ. Master, when did we see you hungry and give you something to eat? When did we see you thirsty and give you a drink? When were you in prison and we visited you? When were you naked and we clothed you? We don't remember any of that. And Jesus says, when you did it to the least of these, to those in need, that was me. Oh, that was you? We put you outside and forgot to let you back in? Say the others. If we'd have known it was you, we would have opened the door. If we'd have known it was you, we would have helped the needy. Jesus, we didn't even know their names. Didn't realize it was you. From ignorance to truth, from fear to friend, from outsider to insider. That's what I see happening in this passage. The boat is the church. The boat is the community of faith. And Jesus desires to come and be in. Two Bible stories today. They lift up some problems, fear and ignorance, and failure to discern God's presence and God's will in our lives. A second or a final topic for today that I see from the ancient world, prejudice. Charlottesville was just about a year ago. It's the story of Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. I think it raises that topic, that trouble of prejudice. Let's look at that one now. I don't know about you, but I think we all grew up with prejudice. Some of us were aware of it, some of us weren't. If you haven't read the book Waking Up White yet, I would commend that to you. It's challenging. It's worth a read. It tells the story of a New Englander who didn't realize the bias and the cultural prejudices and privileges she grew up with. And so she wakes up to that fact. Bias and discrimination of all kinds are passed on to us, aren't they, from our cultures. I won't tell you the names of some of the games we used to play in my backyard. Prejudice against gay and lesbian persons, that was just like gravity where I grew up and when I grew up. Prejudice against women being fully human. I tell my daughter all the time, feminism is the radical idea that women are people too. Prejudice against persons of color. Prejudice against persons with disabilities. Prejudice against Roman Catholics, against Jews, against older people, against younger people. Children are to be seen and not heard. Hatred. Put them away. West Side Story came onto TV the other night, and Heather was out of town, so I watched it. It's the story, you know this, about how love enters in across cultural divides. It's 1957, it's New York City. The person who wrote it originally said it's going to be about a Catholic girl, an Irish Catholic girl, and a Jewish guy. But then New York City was so overcome with gangs and violence in the streets that the writer remade that about Puerto Ricans coming into a city of European immigrants. Here are some lyrics if you've forgotten. When you're a jet all the way. From your very first cigarette to your last dying day. When you're a jet, you're never alone. You're never disconnected. You've got a home, your own. When company's expected, you know you're protected. The jets are in gear. The cylinders are clicking. The sharks had better stay clear. Because every Puerto Rican's a lousy chicken. Here come the jets like a bat out of hell. Someone gets in the way, someone don't feel so well. We're drawing the line, so keep your noses hidden. We're hanging a sign that says, visitors forbidden. And we ain't kidding. Here come the jets, yeah. We're going to beat every last buggin' gang on the whole buggin' street. And the artwork in the front of your bulletin, you see that timeless problem of racism and discrimination and hatred and prejudice taken on by the early church. Look at what the church in the first century dared to say and do. Look who the Spirit welcomes. This isn't Philip's idea. It's clear that the Spirit is the protagonist here, sending Philip on that road, tracking down this man leaving Jerusalem. Who's welcome into the church? This guy? Yes, says the Spirit, this guy. Haven't you ever read Deuteronomy 23, verse 1? But the Spirit says, not the law, but the grace. Not the exclusion, but the inclusion. Philip does some Bible study with the eunuch. That's a shout out to reading Scripture together. I love that eunuch saying, I'm reading the Bible and I don't understand it. That reminds me like you of you and me when we say, I decided one year to wake up and read Genesis and make it all the way to Revelation on my own. How far did you make it? Somewhere in Numbers I stopped. When we read it together, when we have the aid of others, as well as that of God's Spirit, our eyes can be opened in a much more meaningful quest. So Philip helps him understand that the Scriptures are pointing to God's redemptive, inclusive, forgiving love in Jesus Christ. Come to me, Jesus says. If you're weary, if you're carrying heavy loads, come to me. You don't need a ticket. Open the door to me. I'd like to come in. Africans, Europeans, Middle Easterners, I want them all in the pews. Wendy Curl's here this morning, and she and I talked that the part of the community that she serves as director of the day school is about as diverse as any part of the life of this church. When the day school parents and kids come for nurture and care and fun and education in this building, it looks like a gathering of the United Nations. Arms wide open. In Christ, there is no distinction, no slave or free, no male and female, no Jew and Gentile. That's what the church from early on has said. We are baptized as one, and we believe that God is above all, that God is in all, that God is through all, that every person is made in God's very image. Timeless problems. Prejudice, hatred, fear, ignorance. Fred Craddock tells a story. He's deceased now. He was a preaching professor at Emory, the Candler School of Theology, but he grew up a fundamentalist Baptist in the mountains. So Fred Craddock took his first call. He's in Tennessee. His church is rather small, but it's a faithful church, mostly made up of immigrants who came from Northern Europe and settled in the East Tennessee mountains. It's a white clapboard building. It's got pretty windows, a little steeple. And Craddock is new there, and he's preaching God's word to them, and things are going pretty well. Over time, outside of that little town and near the neighborhood of that church, a trailer park is built. And that trailer park begins to be populated with Spanish speakers and a few other persons of color, some African-American families and so forth. Craddock sees an opportunity for church growth. The governing board of the Baptist Church sees folks to be kept out. There's a little tension. Craddock tries to go to that neighborhood, go to that trailer park, get to know folks, see if the kids need supplies for school, provide some tutoring. And the folks in the church said, no, we don't want those people in our church. No surprise. Craddock left that pulpit after a while, and he went to another pulpit. Eventually, he wrote the preaching textbook at Emory Candler School of Theology, a very distinguished career. Craddock gets married at one point in life. He and his wife are on vacation. He says to his wife, have I ever told you about that little Baptist church here where I serve? It's not too far. You want to go see it? Yeah, she says. Let's go take a look. He says, I haven't been there since I left it 20-some years ago. So they pull off the highway, and though there's been a lot of development, and probably like Alpharetta, things aren't recognizable after 15, 20 years, he makes his way to what he thinks is the right place. They park the car, and they're looking around. She says, I don't see a church. He said, I do. They get out of the car. They walk across the street. There's that white building. There are those pretty windows. There's the steeple. It's now a barbecue restaurant. Craddock says, how about that? They made it turned it into a barbecue restaurant. Are you hungry? You want lunch? She goes, I'd love to. So they go to see the inside of the church. They're waiting in line. He said he opens the door, and he's welcomed in those familiar steps, those familiar doors. The place is filled with tables, and folks are having barbecue and iced tea and hush puppies and all the good food, macaroni and cheese. And he said there's all kinds of people. There's workers and there's business people. He's hearing different kinds of languages being spoken. Every table's full, and folks are having a great time. They have to wait in line to get seated. And when they finally get called to take a table, Craddock says to his wife, it's a good thing this still isn't a church, or these folks wouldn't be welcome here. Ancient problems, timeless problems. And the solution is the Christ and the Spirit of Christ, which says, come to me, all, in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.